waiting to go
off. And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go. Have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Liam, you've just bought a house, so this probably doesn't really interest you, but the manor from the season 4 of Stranger Things is now up for sale. It's been listed for $1.5 million US, which is Australian $2.2 million. It is the most beautiful property you've ever seen. And when they do all the shots, it is actually the house. So I thought it would have been a set, but the whole house is exactly like it is in the show. The big staircase where they've always been seen, I think the running up the hill with the, I think there's something with the clock is part of this house. So everything is as you see it, and it comes with all the furniture. It's absolutely stunning. 7-bedroom property. It is based in Rome in Georgia. And
what do they want for it?
$2.2 million Australian. Not too bad.
Not too bad at all.
I think it's stunning.
Couldn't get that in Sydney.
No way.
Or Ipswich.
I'm not in a position to be taking on another mortgage, Lisa, but thank you for thinking on me. But if you – money's not an object. But if you were able to purchase a building or a house from a TV show, from your past that you grew up with, that you'd, you know – what would you go for? Oh, do you know the one that jumps to mind when I was thinking about this today? The Brady Bunch house.
Oh, that was good. And that actually was for sale a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. The family that owned it listed it.
Would that be the house you buy?
Well, it's the one that when I thought about if I could buy a house from a TV show, that one or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes. Well, that was a mansion. And Bel-Air is amazing.
90210. That was very much the same. Beverly Hills. That was a good house as well.
Well, I grew up watching Home and Away, so I don't think maybe Al Stewart's home. maybe.
By the surf club.
Yeah, for sure. I can't think of a house that I'd want to buy, but I want this one. This one's amazing. It looks really haunted, though.
All the houses in Ramsey Street were shit. You didn't want any. They were all shit.
It's out at Nunawading in Melbourne. I used to live out there. Yeah. I used to drive past it when I went to training.
That was a storyline they never explored on Neighbours, despite doing absolutely everything, including allegations of racist neighbours eating their dogs.
They
never explored the idea, like if someone just, you know, overdeveloping the street. That's a myth. It's coming back.
Putting a block of apartments in.
Yeah. Imagine if Susan and Carl in ep one of this new series that Jeff Bezos is funding tell the street and they have to put the development plans out the front and they have to go around.
And then everyone's got to put up with the neighbours doing construction every day.
But then it falls through at the last minute because a construction worker falls off the building. But did he really fall or was he pushed?
Was he pushed by Carl?
By Carl.
Yeah, true.
Dr. Carl's not
really
a doctor.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you throw that? Because they're coming back. So let's go.
Exactly. Look at that. We've come up with your first season arc.
Yeah, that's great.
They overdeveloped Ramsey Street and sell all the properties off the plan. Oh, this is great. And it turns out it's a pyramid scheme and they were never going to buy it sell it in the first place.
Wow. Man. That's really interesting. I didn't think you were going to go there, but sure.
I didn't think I was going to go there, honestly.
Good anyway, for you. Well, you can buy the Stranger Things house if you want. I'll buy that. Hands off everybody else.
It is a busy time of year. It's a busy time of year for everybody.
But what's coming up? Is there something on?
There's lots coming up. there's a little golf tournament happening at Royal Queensland that kicks off on Thursday. And this morning, we had the opportunity to spend a bit of time with a certain Cameron Smith, not of the NRL kind, but of the British Open winning variety. Dobbo, you were off dolphining. You were off doing your job.
No, I was a Broncos today.
Oh, you're Broncos today. Lisa, what were you up to this morning?
I was off sorting out my PGA outfit.
Okay.
Right. Important work.
Right. So you left me one out.
That was the meeting, right. Okay.
You left me one out with the great Cam Smith.
Now, well, we did not feel worthy of being in the same interview as Cam Smith, so we left it to the pro.
What I will say, he was late.
Was he?
He was late. He was
How late?
20 minutes late.
It's decent.
So, look, I know you're a big deal, Cam, but come on. We've all got stuff going on in our lives.
Time is precious.
Exactly. Stick to the program.
Look, it was a pleasure to speak to Cam Smith, and he's got so much going on, and obviously he's come back to his home. This is the first time he's been back here to compete in this tournament in 3 years, and the one thing everybody wants to see and talk to him about is that famous Claret Jug trophy. Are you sick of having to pull out the Claret Jug yet? You know, the trophy, is it, has the luster and the excitement and the novelty of that worn off at all for you?
No, not really. It's unreal, mate. To you know, people that see it for the first time, it's like they've seen a ghost. It's amazing, kind of the reaction that you get from that trophy. It's been I'll never get sick of that, and hopefully I can, you know, hang on to it for another couple of years. That'd be nice.
Have you cleaned it? Because I know you've been drinking beers out of it, and presumably you took it to the One Seamer Country Club the other night, and everyone got to have a sip. But have you given it a wash?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to wash, to be honest. It's just a kind of a little spout at the top, so just kind of rinse it out with some warm water and let it sit overnight. That's about it.
Need to polish it with Silvo.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's what you exactly use. All every year, you just give it a little buff up. But I mean, I just love how, like, he doesn't even know it. Like, it's been at Watima, and it has had beer in it, and there's been a lot drunk out of it.
Nothing like sharing COVID, is there, at this time? Everybody gets a sip.
If I would dead set, you know, like if in any way somebody said to me, hear that, and I didn't care, I'd straight into it and neck it.
For sure. What's a bit of backwash?
Exactly right. Well, it's British Open Championship backwash. Now, obviously, Cam Smith, he's back in town. This was announced earlier in the year that he would be awarded the keys to the City of Brisbane by Mayor Adrian Schrinner, but today he finally got actually physically awarded the honour by the Mayor of Brisbane.
Yeah, I just got the keys to Brisbane City this morning. So, you know, I never thought in my whole life that that would happen. It's, you know, I thought they'd left the keys to the city for, you know, important people, not golfers.
I got the keys to the City of Redcliffe. I don't have them to Brisbane, though.
Yeah, I mean, what's more of an achievement? And this is probably no disrespect to Cam Smith. I mean, an Olympic gold medal or winning a British Open? I mean,
equally as hard to do.
Well, I would say yours is harder.
I've only got a minute and 5 seconds to win mine. he can pick up the pace if he needs to.
How have you never been given the keys to the city?
I don't know. Maybe we should call Adrian. Excuse me, Mr. Schrinner.
Let's get on to this. And lastly, we all know what a diehard rugby league supporter Cam Smith is of the Brisbane Broncos. He landed in town, and then one of the first things he did, straight to Red Hill to the training centre to get involved.
I was fortunate enough to go into the Broncos facility a couple of times and work out with the boys. So it's been awesome for me. You know, I've watched these guys on TV and idolise them. So it was pretty surreal to be in there training with them.
Now, with all due respect, Cam, you are a world-class athlete, but I imagine you're not putting the same sort of big weights on the end of the bench press that some of the Broncos forwards are.
No, absolutely not. It was actually kind of embarrassing lifting weights next to those guys. They make you look pretty small pretty quick.
Well, I mean, have you seen him? He's a whippet. Mm. He's smaller than you. I mean, not every golfer looks like me. Most of them, you know, bar Dusty and John Daly. John Daly. But the rest of them are quite little and nimble.
It was a pleasure to get some time with him. And we might even see him out on the links tomorrow, Dobbo. He's teeing off in the Pro-Am alongside his namesake, Cam Smith, the rugby league player.
And they've actually got Cam Smith, the rugby league player, mic'd up tomorrow
for
a special thing. So it's going to be quite phenomenal. That will be quite good.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you again to the PGA of Australia for helping sort out Cam Smith to chat with us. As far as I'm concerned, this is the biggest name on the show today, Leeson Dobbo. The Titans are top four bound in 2023.
Oh, can you stop with that?
The Titans are absolutely top four bound in 2023.
You put too much pressure on them when you do that.
This is what he does, and he shoots his mouth off with zero information. Well, he's been doing it. I think he said this at the start of last season. How'd that fare for you, big fella?
It didn't go too well. But you know why this next season's going to be different, Dobbo? Because there's a bloke who's going to be playing with the number 9 on his back that he's going to lead this team around the park.
They needed a kill to get their spine right. Yep. And they went and out. They bought, obviously, Kieran Foran at 5'8", mm-hmm. and this bloke, they did wonders to get. It's a huge, huge scalp for him.
He's officially a Titan. Sam Verrills from the Gold Coast Titans. How are you, Sam?
Hey, boys, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on, and I couldn't agree more. Hopefully a top four finish for us next year.
Sam, stop it. Don't fall for his trap, mate. Just be humble. Like you're Roosters trained, mate. You just play the underdog the whole time. Big decision for you to leave the Roosters. Proud club. You're a premiership player there. Look, I understand Brandon Smith obviously signs there as well, but how difficult was it for you to take up this opportunity and to go to the coast?
Yeah, like it was difficult, and, you know, I've built such a good bond and relationships down at Sydney Roosters, and, you know, I still do to this day, and I will for, you know, the rest of my life winning a comp down there with those boys. And but it was a pretty exciting opportunity when it came up, and my manager told me that the Goldie were looking, and pretty much as soon as they said they were looking, I was pretty keen to come up here and sign, and I did that, and how it's finally happened. And, you know, I'm living in a wonderful part of the world, and, you know, first official day was yesterday, and was out in the field today, so I'm ripping in, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to the new year.
How different is the atmosphere on the coast? Because obviously Sydney is surrounded by NRL. You can't go anywhere without bumping into an NRL player. But the Gold Coast certainly has a different vibe. It's much more chilled. How will you find that coming into this season?
Yeah, I was just about, it is very chilled up here. But, you know, the people around here are super nice and welcoming. And I've had a few people I've run into in Burley at the moment. And they've been super, like, really welcoming and cool. And it is a lot chilled up here, and kind of getting out of the Sydney hustle and bustle. And but I'm enjoying it. I'm from the Northern Beaches, so I'm kind of away from the hustle and bustle and the Bondi. So it reminds me of home a little bit in Burley, and I'm just happy to be here.
I wanted to get you to make that statement publicly, Sam. Declare it now. Burley is better than Avalon. Your home break.
Cool. Damn straight.
Nah, I'm not sure yet. I haven't been here that long, but. I'm sure in about a year's time or 6 months' time I might be able to say it.
Right. You landed right on schoolies.
Yeah, I know, but I will say this that Burley has Rick Shaw's, but the best charcoal chicken shop in Sydney is at Avalon. I can tell you that now. Mm-hmm. So I mean you wouldn't go through it, you cannot beat, you know, like, and seriously, like, and there's a little place called Clareville that reminds me very much of, like, Currumbin Creek. So, I mean, I understand it's a hard place to split.
Sammy, have you tried Freddy's yet?
No, not yet. Oh. I have tried it before, but not yet. But I'm in pre-season, so I'm not sure if I can
stay
keep
out of Freddy's.
I'll try it for you.
Stay out of Freddy's.
I've had 10 weeks off, and I've been in America, so I don't think Freddy's would be good for me right now.
How hard is it to back it up when you win a premiership in your first season? It's sort of like going to the Olympics. You win a gold medal, and then what do you do after that? Is it hard to back it up?
Yeah, it's part. Well, because I came in 2019, and they won in 2018 as well, so. They went back to back, and I just thought, honestly, well, this is going to be me for the rest of my career. We just keep winning, and obviously having a few injuries and a few, so like last year, blowing out how we did against the Rabbitohs wasn't the way we wanted to, and it is strange. It's a different feeling, but I guess every year that rolls on, you know, I've gotten better. That you know, it's a new season, everyone starts fresh, and you kind of just got to don't wipe out the memories, of course, but obviously it's a new season. You can't think about the year before.
Sam, I just want to apologise for Liesl Jones. She has this habit of just trying to remind everybody of her Olympic glory, even in questions about rugby league.
You know, you just always crowbar. Well.
Yeah.
She crowbars what she's done. Like, you know, like,
I would if you win a gold medal.
Yeah, exactly right.
I've got three, so it's fair enough.
Thanks for staying humble, Liesl.
Anybody who's listened to this interview and wasn't convinced of the Titans being a top four team next year.
I'm convinced now. That sold me.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm on board. Yeah, buy the year for 2023. Marketing your books. S. Verrills, Gold Coast Titans. Sam, a pleasure to have you not only at the Titans but also on the coast. Look forward to seeing you on the streets of Burley soon.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Pretty significant day today. For those who don't know it, let's go back in time. 1956.
I was not there then.
No, me neither. But this was today, on this very day, was the opening of the Melbourne Olympic Games. And at the opening ceremony, a gentleman by the name of Ron Clark lit the flame and in the process burnt his arm at the same time. And it was a significant day because it was our first Olympics in this country. It was in Melbourne. And
he was a mayor of the GC, Ron Clark.
Yeah, was he? Hmm. Well, he lit the flame at the Melbourne Olympics.
I love that we got the mayor to do it. Like now at Sydney 2000, we've got Cathy Freeman and all these extraordinary athletes. Let's get the mayor.
So he was a handy middle distance runner as well.
Of course.
He was an Olympian as well.
Of course he was.
But I would talk about the fact that since in my time as watching Olympics, which is the lighting of the flame has been a little underwhelming. And I know people are going to shout me down. There's only one true one that I really remember was when the bow and arrow was shot across up over and it lit up
that
the whole
incredible.
Flame. Unbelievable.
Was that LA?
It might have been LA or Atlanta or something. It was an American one, but it was shot.
Atlanta, yeah.
But what I do know is I wasn't the huge fan of Cathy Freeman's lighting of the flame because the machine broke.
It got stuck. It was quite a considerable amount of time, too.
Yeah, and, like, there has been some absolute busts in lighting of the flames, but I thought this year, I mean, in 10 years' time, we're going to have a flame lit in southeast Queensland when we have the Olympics in our state. Now, you've been to, what, four Olympics?
Four. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember all the lighting of the flames?
I can remember Sydney.
Obviously, that was quite iconic. Freeman.
Athens was all the iconic original Greek Olympic locations. Yep. Beijing, I don't remember too much. And London, I don't really remember either. But I think we could make this one super memorable for Southeast Queensland.
Atlanta was memorable with Ali as well.
That was incredible.
Oh, that was unbelievable. Yeah.
But I feel like we can make this one memorable for Australia. And I think we can really encapsulate all of Southeast Queensland, all the way from sunny coast to the Gold Coast. But we've got to get creative. Do you have any ideas, Dobbo?
Well, I mean,
encapsulate the whole of Southeast Queensland into the lighting of the flame moment.
The question mark is that who is the greatest Olympian at this time who would light the flame? If you had to right now pick who is, I mean, I still can't get over that Dawn Fraser didn't light the flame at 2000. And I understand she was close to it. I think she was the second. I think Robert DiCostello was around there as well, if I recall. But I absolutely think that if it is on right this moment, Dawn Fraser lights the flame for us.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, in the 10 years' time, there's going to be a lot more athletes. I mean, Emma McKeon is arguably much more successful.
Good one. Yeah. 1-3-3-5-3. Let's open this up to the Rush Hour family as well. Let's get them involved. 1-3-3-5-3. Who do you think should light the flame? And if you've got a creative way they should do it as well, we'd love to hear that.
Well, what would stop a Cam Smith or a Greg Norman with a golf ball that could be on fire and they drive it with a pitching wedge it up there and away she goes. I'm just saying, like, you know.
What about we get Jeff Thompson just to flick a durry? He's a half-smoked durry, just casually flicks it.
Well, why don't we get some jet skis down the Brisbane River, down the Goldie, through the canals? Just put it and stick it in the back in the esky or something like that.
Mick Fanning on a wakeboard being towed behind all the way along from
a helicopter.
Now we're talking. I'm just thinking.
Like, so good.
Yep. Logan Martin backflip.
Yes.
You know, the bike on fire.
Great.
And he just lands the bike and...
Significant because it's 10 years away and we need to get the flame right. You know, we just don't need a panda or a toy or a mascot running up with it. That would be a very underwhelming situation.
A panda.
All those pandas getting around.
Oh,
all right.
A mascot.
Let's put it out to the Rush Hour family. 1-3-3-5-3. Who should light it and what creative way should they use to light it? Ryan in Currumbin Waters. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Mate, who do you reckon?
Mate. I reckon, for one, the durry idea was pretty good from Dobbo, but it's got to be Jumpin' Jai to Rima because we've never had a long jumper that we can ever remember from Australia that's done any good, and he loved a durry and a pizza.
He was a silver medalist in Sydney, wasn't he?
He was, which was unheard of. Or our old mate, Mr. Bradbury. He could turn up late and just light the flame as he pleases.
Well, considering he's a winter Olympian, he might be out of his depth there a little bit.
You can get a winter Olympian into the summer Olympics,
we don't try and cross over to their territory, so they can stay out of ours.
But wouldn't it be classic Bradbury, though, if he did get the gig?
Yeah.
No one expected him to get it. Wouldn't it be classic?
I'd go for Jumpin' Jai before I would Stephen Bradbury.
Ryan, thank you for the call. We got Lewis in Labrador. Lewis, who should be lighting the flame?
Howdy. It's got to be Thorpey.
Well, he's a Sydney sider, so do we need a Queenslander?
No, I don't think we do. I'm from New South Wales anyway, so you know, rub a little bit of chicken in the Queenslanders.
I reckon Thorpey would love doing
I don't
that.
Mind Thorpey. I mean,
he'd love it. It'd be right up his alley.
Would it?
Yeah. He'd go on a holiday first so that he was all nice and tan.
How would he do it, Lisa? How would Thorpey? What's the best, most Thorpey-ish way to light the Olympic flame?
He'd probably lumber up there and sort of in his big Thorpey body, you know, just all power and just manly.
Haven't they invented flames? Like, the Olympic flame has been underwater before, hasn't it?
Yeah, maybe he could scuba through the canals.
Imagine if
he
swam a lap. Imagine if you swam a lap.
Yeah.
With the Olympic flame.
I tend to think, like, the last kilometre there is the greats. Jones would be in the last kilometre. I reckon you're in the last couple of hundred metres, Jones.
Ooh, okay.
There you go.
Thorpey would be at the end. He'd be one of the last standing. Raylene Boyle was one in Sydney, and that was amazing too. She's one of my absolute favourites. I adore her.
Byron in Burley. Byron, who do you think should be lighting the flame 10 years from now?
Mate, in 10 years from now, there'd be no doubt. We have to have Queensland legends. So it should start with Pauline Hanson, beautiful red hair on fire, right through the stadium. Now, Bobcat is chasing her with a massive Akubra hat that he's softened in water. And tries to douse the flame, but it fails. Catches fire. He flicks it to Robin Irwin, little Bobby, and Robert catches it. Flicks at the bindi, and guess what? She's running towards the cauldron. There's gas coming. She flicks his flaming Akubra up to Sam Kekovich, and he's got a massive lamb over the cauldron. It ignites, and that's Queensland.
Oh, Byron, that was fantastic. What a story.
I do think two of those five that you've mentioned, in no disrespect to Bob Catter and Sam Kekovich, might just not be here in 10 years' time. Oh, but anyway, okay. I mean, you know,
how old would Bob Catter be?
I think get late, Byron late on the organising committee. Okay. Get Byron on the organising committee. He's
yes, I loved it. The enthusiasm was fantastic.
Hey,
I need
Byron,
that for 2032.
We've got a $100 CNL Tools voucher for that. CNL Tools, Banyu, where you want to buy tools, not talk to one, cltoolcentre.com.au. Do you reckon your mate Bob would go for that, Dobbo?
No.
Bob Irwin
he's
or Bob Catter?
No, Bob Catter.
Bob Irwin would 100%.
He's against the Olympics or Bob Catter.
We are closing in on a very significant day, and it is International Day of Living with a Disability.
Such a big day, and it's so important to raise awareness.
Yeah. We all know people in our lives with a disability, and the challenges that they face are different to those of us that don't have disabilities. But one element of the Gold Coast, which you probably take for granted, is the beach. And, you know, you see the ramps and the pathways that do provide people in wheelchairs with access to the beach and all that sort of stuff.
And you can just see the excitement on their faces too. I guarantee cry every time I see a child with a disability that gets their big wheelchair that they get to go onto the sand and then they get to enjoy the water as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and then the other element to it is, and I know this with my six-year-old Quinn at the moment, is nippers. Nippers is such a way of life for young kids on the coast.
It's a great sport for all young boys and girls.
And social.
So good.
Well, in 2015, a gentleman by the name of Lisa, you might have come across this man because he knows people in your world. His name is Nick Marshall, and let's just call him a physio to the stars because he looks after anybody who's ever won anything. He set up what is called the Albatross Nippers, which was the first inclusive surf life-saving program designed specifically for these people with special needs. And we are lucky enough that Nick joins us in the studio right now. Good afternoon, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
I'm not worried.
This is such a special organisation, Nick. Just talk to us about how you came to actually starting this and how much groundswell it took on from the minute you began.
Yeah, look, I don't have anyone in my family with special needs or a disability, so for me it was something I'd never really thought about. But I was coaching at a couple of local surf clubs and I'd have one sibling in our squad and then another sibling who had to sit out or sit beside me because they had a disability. And essentially, a couple of families came to me. They were seeing me as a physio or they were seeing me as a coach and said, oh, we'd love to get, you know, our other sibling to join in. And I sort of thought at the time, oh, that can't be that difficult. Surely they can just join in with everybody else. That sort of set the ball in the wheels in motion. And then it took about a year of talking to people. And everyone sort of said to me, look, it's not going to happen. It'll be too difficult and people won't be interested in it. But everybody I spoke to was all for it. Everybody couldn't have helped me more. And then it got off the line, you know, a year later in 2015. And it's just gone from strength to strength.
Nick, you would know this with the Commonwealth Games. We love it because we get to swim alongside or compete alongside alongside Paralympians, and Olympics and Paralympics are separate. But that's the key to it, isn't it? It's being able to compete alongside people that may have a disability, but feeling like that they're included in everything, that they don't have to run at a different time or afterwards, that they can run completely alongside. And I feel like for children, that would be the most important part, is to feel included at that age.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there were programs, I guess, in Australia that were what I'd call sort of standalone programs that they gave children with a disability an opportunity to experience nippers or come to the beach. But there was no inclusive nippers. There was no program that allowed children all to come together and all do nippers together. And, you know, that's really what I wanted our program to be. We didn't want it to be a standalone experience. We just wanted nippers to be available to everybody.
Nick, what kind of feedback have you had, especially from parents that get to be able to enjoy albatross nippers? And I'm sure across the country you've probably had some great feedback as well.
Yeah, the feedback's been incredible. And look, when I started this, I just thought we were doing it for a couple of local families, and I never really envisaged that it would be anything like it is now. And we sort of spread all over the country to different clubs. It's the parents, when they talk to you, that gets you kind of, I guess, a little bit emotional. I've got two kids of my own, and you sort of don't realise what a number of these families just can't do or haven't been able to do. And there's been some, you know, Matt Rogers came down once, and I can't remember if it was him or his wife said, you know, they weren't a beach family after Max was born because it was just a little bit too hard and chaotic to come to the beach. And that, I guess that's stuff that you just don't think of as a family or as a sibling.
Yeah.
It's the families and the parents that have seen or have made me emotional and made me kind of, I guess, sort of look at it and think, yeah, we're doing something really good here.
Yeah, you certainly are. And as we say, International Day of Living with a Disability is coming up on Saturday week, the 2nd of December, and there's going to be a surf carnival for the Albatross Club down at Nobby's Beach. If you want to support this as well, obviously that International Day and that carnival is happening on the Saturday, on the Friday, the day before Friday, the 1st of December, where there is a sportsman's lunch happening at Nobby's Surf Club, and you have gone deep into your black book and you're bringing along all your famous friends. Mac Horton's going to be there. Bonnie Hancock's going to be there as well. So if anybody's interested in coming along, they can get in touch with Nobby's Surf Club for tickets to that one, or go to the Albatross Instagram Albatross page. Nippers. Seeing what Nippers does for young kids on a Sunday now on a weekly basis for my daughter. Can't imagine the joy and the excitement it must be bringing to the families that who, like the Rogers, who previously thought the beach was inaccessible for them because of the disability with their kids. So well done to you, Nick.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
One of us has got a big night ahead. One of us is ready to rock out, throw the horns and go hard.
Well, I don't know if I'm throwing any horns. Am I going to Guns N' Roses? Yes, this will be the third time I see them. It's not where I want to be. I want to be in the jungle, baby. That's where I'm going to be. Welcome to the jungle. Paradise City, I can't wait. Night Train, I just hope that they rock out all those big ones that I like.
We did Welcome to the Jungle was our wake-up song when we did Kokoda. So every morning we got woken up at 4 a.m. to Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, well, you're in the jungle. made a bit of sense. Clothing attire for me, like I'm an Ariat man. I'm boots, jeans and a collared shirt. And this morning I was getting fashion advice off my wife about what. So I'm rocking the black sort of grey V t-shirt tonight.
Ooh, with V jeans t-shirt. And boots,
like a V t-shirt. Yeah.
Lisa and I both made the same sound when you said V.
Well, I just didn't know. I was having a go.
It'd be weird seeing you not in a collar.
I know.
Not
I just was
down.
Like, I mean, if it was Luke Combs, different show, but it's Gunners. Like, I mean,
you're a bit out of your
comfort zone. So, I mean, and I'm an old man. So, like, if they're right, if it gets to 9:30 and they're still rocking, I'm leaving.
Yeah, that's pretty late.
Actually, that's an interesting point about, you know, these bands like Rolling Stones and the Gunners who've been around for decades.
They need a break.
The audience would be hitting the Dobbo stage where they're like, oh, look, can we wrap this thing up by 9:30? What do you mean you're not getting on stage till 10?
It's an interesting scenario.
What are you talking about?
Like, if they come out at 9:30 and they haven't started playing, I'm going to miss everything at Gunners, which could be great for this show tomorrow if I went to the Gunners concert.
Who's the support act?
I have no idea, but gates open at, I think they might even be open now.
So you got to head up to Suncorp.
Suncorp.
Who are you going with?
Well, I asked Amity, and she politely declined. She took a babysitting gig instead.
Fair enough.
Then I asked a couple of mates, and as luck would have it, they both said no. So I'm taking my driver, James. I'm taking James, the driver, who is back.
Your driver?
my driver, well, there's nothing in the madness because he's going to drive me home. He gets free Gunners tickets.
So, okay.
Yesterday I bribed him with a Dolphins hat. Today he's getting bribed with Gunners tickets.
Dobbo, hold on. You're saying you're bribing this young man with things secured from the radio station.
Merch.
You should be paying him. He's doing a job.
But, he gets paid as well, but does, this is added okay. extras.
Does he get paid while he's at the concert?
Yes.
He's being paid. You are paying somebody. You are prostituting this man.
He gets paid a day rate. Paid a day rate. And in that day rate, he's going to the concert as well.
He's living the dream.
This bloke has the best gig in
Australia
right now.
His job's better than ours.
He's getting paid to go. The only other people getting paid at that gig are Guns N' Roses.
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose, Slash and the Boys. They're the only ones getting paid.
That are serving
and your
food
driver,
and
Dobbo.
And there are people that's serving food and grog there as well. And security. I'm sure they're getting an earn out of it as well. They're not doing it for free.
They got to work. He just gets to watch the concert.
Yeah, true. Anyway, it's the only way I could go.
Have a ripping time. Will we get a full review from you tomorrow on the show?
Well, that's James's forte, but I'm happy to give a concert review.
Or maybe we could get James on to do a concert review.
Oh, yeah.
He's not coming back on this show. Was out of control after the one appearance he made on this show.
Went to his head.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it will send your ego out of control of this show, as some of us have proven. And we're joined now by Spider from Triple M Breakfast. Morning, Spider.
Yeah, morning, afternoon, whatever you want to call it. I call it afternoon, but I did just wake up, so it could be morning. I don't know.
Mate, you guys are going out to a special school, and this is the tuck shop run that you guys have been doing. Where are you heading tomorrow?
We're going to Oxen for tomorrow. So, you know what? This is what amazes me. Some of these schools have been around since, over 100 years. Like, Pimpamar and these places, I would have thought, 30, 40 years would have cut it off? Over 100 years. Started with 8 students, so every school's got their story, and I love it because, you know, we can go there and, look, let's be honest, we do gloat a bit. I represented Australia, Ali's represented Australia, we know Flam represented Australia. What about you guys? Are you in the same boat? Well, we know Liesl did, of course.
I think, Liesl, I think when we want to talk about representing Australia, let's...
I've got to take one for the team.
Yeah, but I just want to... No disrespect to the three of you, but you guys are running in the group two at Charleville on a Tuesday.
Jones is
running in the Melbourne Cup. I mean, when we talk about representing Australia.
Hang on. Well, what would they put that put you in? We still represented Australia. We know, Liam, you even heard Vanuatu.
We represented Vanuatu, exactly.
Absolutely. Mm. So, Dobbo, what's your height?
Australian Young Auctioneer of the Year 2000.
That's an award. That's not representing your country.
Spider, he represented himself when he was in court on speeding fines.
Spider, now there's one important element about your tuck shops, and I'm very proudly wearing mine. You've got to have tuck shop lady arms. Do you have any of those yet?
I don't. My wife, I'll leave that to my wife. If she waves, she'll knock 15 people out. No, she's got the biggest bingo wings of all time. Like, they're amazing. So she loves them. But each to their own. The tuck shop, one thing I do love, and that is meeting the ladies in the tuck shop. They do a magnificent job. And even since we're going to school, we absolutely adore. It's like a property steward at a footy club. It's like the tuck shop lady at primary school. You absolutely love them. The time and effort they put in. And the food these days is remarkable.
Well, and you've teamed up with Harris Farms for this. You're helping provide the kids with some healthy stuff to kickstart their day, and you'll be doing it tomorrow morning at Oxenford. But back in your day, Spide, I imagine the offerings weren't quite as nutritious.
Oh, you know, I remember going to Inverloch Primary. I was in probably grade 4 or 5, and we used to be able to get fish and chips on a Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
So you actually got your lunch order from the milk bar, but then on a Friday you could get your fish and chips, and it was just Rolls Royce, but I wasn't there long enough. So my normal stock order was just the pie, the donut, and the chocolate Big M. That is the trio of champions.
That order, can you remember how much it set you back? Because you would have got change from a $5 note for that too.
Absolutely. I think we used to spend $2.50. $2.50 was our lunch order maximum, because I had four sisters, and my old man, like Friday, and I remember my sister ordered a sandwich once, and my man went off his tree. He goes, "You can take that from school. Buy something like a pie or a sausage roll."
Spend it wisely.
So tomorrow morning, you, Ali, and Flan, you're all going to be out at Oxenford Primary.
Absolutely. Yep, we'll be there from 6 o'clock, so make sure you come along early for the mums and dads. Not only is there fresh food for all the kids, but there's also coffee for the mums and dads. So have the morning off and come and say hello.
You beauty. Well, absolutely. It's a fantastic thing. Triple M's Tuck Shop tomorrow morning, Oxenford Primary. Spider, go well. We'll listen to you then.
Thank you very much.
Okay. What was your go-to order, Liesl?
I used to have a half a pita pocket, so it was emptied out. I used to just have ham and salad in it, so it was kind of boring, but also hot pockets were my favourite, like pizza pockets, yum.
What's your obsession with pockets?
I don't know.
Food mad for
pockets. Pockets in dresses, I love it. Pockets in pitters and hot pockets. Mad for it.
Well, my daughter right now gets Tuck Shop once a week. She gets it on a Friday. It has changed, though. You don't send it in a little brown paper bag. You send it, you do it on an app the night before. You order online the night before.
Where's the fun in that? You had to carry around the $2 coins in there, make sure they didn't fall out.
You don't get much back from $2 these days, Liesl.
No. I wouldn't even get your chalky milk.
133353. What was your Tuck Shop order back in the day? Cassie in Southport has called through. Cassie, what was your Tuck Shop order back in the day?
My go-to Tuck Shop order was a 30-cent packet of eucalyptus drops, 60-cent Cola Sunny Boy, and $1.80 meat pie. Treat.
Cola Sunny Boy? I thought they only came in the orange flavour.
No, Cola. That Cola. Was my go-to.
Why did you go the eucalyptus
drops? That's a great question.
What is that?
I don't know. And sometimes when I wanted to splurge, I'd get 2 packets.
Eucalyptus drops.
You real
glutton. Gee, your nose would have been nice and clear, Cassie. You would have been like, I can breathe well.
Yeah, absolutely. Worked wonders for my immune system.
Teachers probably thought you had a drug problem out in the back. Cassie's sniffing all the time.
All the time.
Hey, Cassie, thank you for sharing that with us. We've got a Totally Workwear voucher for you, $100 Totally Workwear for all your work gear, all locally owned with the biggest brands and best service throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome, Cassie.
Now, I've even got from 1994 a price list from Lumia Public School.
All right.
Let's go.
That's got a garlic bread per slice, 20 cents, mini pizza, 35 cents. This is 1994. Oh. Frozen bananas, 40 cents. Licorice, 5 cents. You could get sandwiches, a corned beef sandwich for $1.20, coleslaw, $1, chicken and salad, $1.70.
Do you know, it's funny you talk about that. My favourite go-to of all time, and I've lived with it and I've stayed loyal to it, was I could get 4 buttered crusts, fresh buttered crusts.
What's the crust
in
of the
loaf
bread?
Of bread. So the
bum bit.
Yeah, and the top. For 5 cents each.
Right?
And I used to get 4 of them for 20 cents, and that was my smoko.
Buttered crust.
Buttered crust. And I've stayed loyal to it to the point that Amity, she bought a loaf of bread the other day, and I stick my hand right in straight away to the very bottom, grab the loaf, and she's like, can you stop fingering the bread, please?
Time to talk some sport, all thanks to our mates at Totally Workwear, who have been tremendous supporters of the show this year. For all your work gear, all locally owned with the biggest brands and best service throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast. Dobbo, what's the cricket situation?
Yeah, look, England won the toss and elected to send Australia into bat, and I think now that they are ruing that decision. Up to 39 overs, they're 2 for 273. Pretty unbelievable what went on. Travis Head faced 130 balls, scored 152, and Dave Warner 106 of 102. Currently, Australia sit at 2 for 273 with 10 overs to go. So they're going to put on a big, big score. Steve Smith, Marcus Stoinis, both in now. Steve Smith's 3 not out, Marcus Stoinis 4 not out.
Sticking with cricket, why don't we go to Women's T20 World Cup? The team has been selected, which is really exciting. We've got my mate Alyssa Healy has been named as captain, which is really good. Every time I'm on TV, my husband says, oh, you're on TV, you're doing really well. But it's the 3 new names that we see on the team, which is probably going to be the greatest additions. Now, Phoebe Litchfield, if you've heard about her in the last couple of years, she's a teenage sensation.
Yes.
And this is her first overseas tour. Now, it's great to see her on the team. And Alyssa was interviewed this morning saying she doesn't want to put too much pressure on her and she doesn't want to have too many expectations, but she's really looking forward to seeing how she performs. The other new inclusion is Heather Graham. She had a sole one day international for Australia back in 2019, so good to see her on the team. But probably the most interesting inclusion is Kim Garth. She's an Irish player. She's played for Ireland for a series in India. She's actually done 51 T20s for Ireland and is the country's player of the decade. But we love it. We love it in Australia, being able to take people. She became a resident here in Australia, so we're like, we'll sign you up. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, leg spinner Amanda Jade Wellington misses out on the Women's T20 World Cup.
We'll take anybody if they're at the elite level of sport.
Oh, we love it.
Kostya Zou, Tatiana Grigorieva. Bring us your best and we'll put them in green and gold. Yeah,
if you want to wear our colours, for sure, we'll put you in it.
Exactly. There's a couple of blokes born in Sudan currently in the Socceroos lineup as well to tackle France tomorrow morning in the World Cup. Speaking of the World Cup, we are into it now. We're in the thick of it. Obviously, yesterday, Ecuador defeating Qatar 2-0. This morning, England in a goal fest defeating Iran 6-2. Netherlands with a 2-0 win over Senegal. And the first draw is played out between USA and Wales. Wales at just their second World Cup ever. Gareth Bale becoming just the second Welshman to ever score.
How many times have the US been in the World Cup?
The US have been there a bit.
Have they?
They haven't. I think this is the first time they've scored since, I'm going to say, 2014.
Okay.
If there was a World Cup.
I wouldn't
Cup
have thought then. They were a big soccer nation.
No, they're just a big nation. There's just lots of people there, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
True.
It's the Rush
Hour. Will Ferrell owns a team, the LA something or
he
other.
He owns the Seattle team, yeah.
Seattle, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes,
in
sorry.
The MLS, yeah, he yep. does. Yeah. Do you want to buy a team, Liesl?
No, thank you.
Here is the least thought out radio competition in history.
It's going to be interesting because she butchered it yesterday.
I didn't butcher it. It wasn't all my fault.
Well, it was a little bit your fault.
It was a lot.
Liam, you thought up this game.
and now after all the joking, I actually can't get the... Let's try again. Here we go. Can't get the opener.
No, we actually have a proper opener.
We do, yeah.
It's actually such a big deal. We've got the opener yesterday.
Blues Fest is back for 2023, and we've got your chance to win a 5-day pass. We've got
this
over
is going real well.
40 artists already announced, Counting Crows, John Stevens, Black Sorrows, and there's much more to come. It is going to be the most exciting Blues Fest ever. Tickets are on sale right now. It's happening in Byron Bay. Blues Fest in Byron Bay. Tickets are on sale right now. Buy yours at bluesfest.com.au. It is a ripping lineup. But we also have just some real exclusive passes to give away all this
week. Well, that's it. We've got 5 days worth of passes. It's like 5 days worth of tickets. Mm. To be able to go, it's unbelievable. And they're Liam and I looked up the prices. It's like really expensive.
Yeah. You know, it's not quite money can't buy, because if you've got this much money, you probably could buy it, but they're
not
cheap.
You probably could buy a few days if you wanted to, but we've got the exclusive tickets and we made it pretty easy to be able to get them. So I'm thinking about something blue. Should I kick off with just a little bit of a general clue?
Up to you. This is your game. Yesterday, the way this game works is you think of you think of something blue. If somebody guesses it, they get the tickets. Yesterday, okay. What did you think of?
What was yesterday? Blueberries.
Blueberries.
Yes.
She didn't give a lot of clues. Okay.
I'm going to start off with a clue.
To make it fair, I think, you know, our first one should have a clue.
What's the clue, Liesl?
Okay, the first clue is mostly women wear this.
Okay, well, Erin, we have a woman first up today. Erin in Currumbin Waters, what is the blue thing Liesl is thinking of?
Mostly women wear this.
Eyeshadow. That's actually a very good unfortunately.
We might use that another day, Erin.
Thank you for the idea, Erin. Incorrect. Yeah. Let's get rolling. Jono in Maroochy River. Jono, what is the blue thing Lise was thinking of?
I was thinking more nail polish.
Oh, very close. Blue no, unfortunately, polish. Not nail polish.
Not nail polish.
Mostly women wear this. Okay, second clue is going to be expensive.
Okay. So it's expensive and mostly women wear this. Okay, mm-hmm. Tony
I
and
would
Oxford.
Say, just hang on.
Yes.
I would say, let's be fair, exclusively women wear this.
I don't know.
Not a lot of men would
no,
ever.
Not a lot not of men would
I would say
hey, who's
1%
thinking
of the
who's
population.
Thinking of this blue thing?
Me.
Okay.
Dobbo helped.
Dobbo had to help you think. Okay.
He helped me with the clues.
The clues.
Tony in Oxenford. What is the blue thing Liesl is thinking of?
Oh, handbag.
Oh, very good. No, unfortunately not.
Sorry, Tony. That's wrong.
Handbag. It's expensive and mostly, I would say, women wear this.
All right, Louise in Broadbeach. What's Louise?
I reckon you've got Liesl thinking of.
I really have no idea, but I'm going to say earrings.
Oh, you're very close.
Well. What happened there? Big savings.
How you going,
Mel? I don't know what happened there. It just jumped off on me.
Yeah. Now, you're very close with the earrings.
No, but she's not. Could I?
We need to be specific about.
Yeah, I would say just from these kind of things that if you receive one,
yes,
this blue thing off a partner,
yes,
or they would be in the good books.
They like, certainly would.
If you receive this as a gift,
in the earrings,
they could be in the earrings. If you received it,
let's try Andrew in Palm Beach. Andrew.
You've lost me there, guys, so I was going with lingerie.
Blue lingerie. Ooh la la.
If my wife wore it, I'd be happy.
Brody and Kira. Brody. Right.
Do we want one more clue?
All right, yeah, Brody, you can listen to the clue.
Okay, Brody. You're very lucky. It's a precious gem.
Is it a sapphire?
It is, Brody. It is. We got there.
Yes.
5-day pass for you, Brody, to get along to Blues Fest in Byron Bay.
Sorry, that was my son.
He's going and you're not, Brody.
Well done. Congratulations, Brody. Tickets for Blues Fest in Byron Bay are on sale now. Buy yours at bluesfest.com.au.
We got there.
You know what the great part is?
Finishing it.
Playing it again tomorrow. Hey, time for us to get out of here. Lisa
Jones. Why'd you look at me, Liam? Good evening, good night.
Farewell, my neighbours.
Jones, your ego was out of control long before this
show. It's very inflated.